Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Clark County Commissioner Tick Sagerblum joins us. He's here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Big R and Sparks is located on Bering Boulevard next to Smith's and across from Reed High School. It's a 50,000-square-foot hardware store and a whole lot more. It's your spring headquarters with lawn and garden supplies, power equipment, and outdoor living. Big R on Bering Boulevard and Sparks next to Smith's and across from Reed High School. Big R, hardware and a whole lot more.
Carson Valley Inn, it's your place for the good times. Carson Valley Inn.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Ahern Hotel in Las Vegas. We are joined by my good friend, Tick Sagerblum. He's the Clark County Commissioner for District E. We're taping this on the morning of June 15, so people have the time frame. How excited are you about the Golden Knights victory?
Well, incredible, frankly. It's probably one of the biggest events in the history of Las Vegas. Definitely put us on the world stage. And from everything I can see, the people that came here, the media that came here, we're so impressed with how we treat our team and how we do things. So I think it was incredible positive.
Then let's move to the A's. The legislature, through the Assembly and Senate, have now passed the A's bill. It goes to the governor. I can't imagine for one second that he's not going to sign it. Your thoughts on the A's stadium and the deal that was cut and the logistics of putting it all together?
Well, first I want to congratulate the legislature for addressing it. It's not an easy issue, and especially in a special session, but they did give it the time and the attention that it needed, and at the end of the day they passed it. But I understand what they had to go through. That was a lot of work and a lot of hand-wringing. But as far as the A's themselves, the proof's in the pudding. We're going to have to see. You know, I wanted it across the street here, which on this festival site and
which is next to Circus,
right, and it's off across from Sahara.
So did Don Ahern, by the way.
Yeah, and so it would have been, I think, perfect for that area because it's a redevelopment area. It's the north part of the strip needs some attention. So the location, I'm not thrilled about, but at the end of the day, I view it as Clark County's going to put up about $100 million. We're going to get $1.5 billion investment. So for our monies, that's a good jobs program, put a lot of people to work, and bring in Major League Baseball, which kind of fits into our new theme, which is we're a sports capital of the world.
Okay, now that interests me. So you're totally in support of this?
Well, at the end of the day, yes. I mean, I've said I would have loved it over here, but I can't say, well, in my district it would have been perfect, but over there it's not perfect. I mean, there's going to be lots of issues over there, the traffic and everything else that they're going to have to resolve, the airport. But assuming that can all happen, you know, it's something that the public seems to want, at least from judge and elected officials. And we'll see if it happens. But at least for now.
We'll see if it happens.
There's a lot of moving pieces still as far as that location. So and the A's have to go up with $1.1 billion. No one's ever explained where that's coming from. So let's see.
Do you think that people still don't understand Las Vegas and its 150,000 hotel rooms and the ability of what Las Vegas has to do things that other cities just can't?
I honestly think that in this case it doesn't really apply. I mean, there's 80 games. I don't think 80 games of 15,000 people are going to come to Las Vegas to watch their team play. I mean, I'm sure when the Yankees play and when the Cubs play and some of these teams that have, you know, national followings and big followings at home, Dodgers, things like that, that they will fill up the stands, or at least fill up half the stands. But on a regular basis, I don't see Major League Baseball being the same as 12 Raider games or 8 Raider games, whatever it is. But again, we'll have to see. That was the sales pitch, and the legislature went with it.
You know, the potential for other things to occur there. You've seen these concerts at Allegiant Stadium, where you're bringing in 60,000 people, in some cases, 4 concerts in a row of 60,000 people. Do you see those kind of events going on there as well?
I do, and that's why I think the real economic benefit's going to be is that mid-range. But we have the 15 to 20,000 at T-Mobile. We have the 60,000 at Allegiant. This is going to be a 30,000. Hopefully they can figure it a way that can be a good concert facility, because that's really our future. The downside is going to be with 80 games, there won't be as many dates available. But of course, all winter will be available, and so that's going to be the real economic benefit. But again, one of the problems is we're giving up the taxes from those events, but they're going to have to stay in hotel rooms, and those hotel rooms are going to pay taxes. So we'll just have to see. But the reality is, this is what we do. It's worked so far. So I guess you don't want to say, well, even though it's worked so far, it's not going to work in the future.
Well, and I think one of the things, and no offense to the ownership of the Tropicana over the years, but that was the least developed property of all the properties on the Strip that were a major property. I mean, it's a huge property. This allows them to blow up the old property and build something new, which will also generate a lot of economic activity on one of the busiest corners in the world.
I don't disagree, but the truth is that is the most valuable piece of property in Nevada. So is that the best place to put a baseball stadium? That's what people seem to agree on, so let's go with it. But in the meantime, we're going to lose the revenue from the Tropicana, which is as limited as it is. And then I'm not sure what they're going to build around the stadium as far as hotel rooms. Hopefully lots of hotel rooms.
Well, they're talking, but, as somebody was saying the other day, and I apologize to whichever media ran it, but somebody on an analyst call had recommended redeveloping the Excalibur to bring that up to a higher level, just to be able to accommodate the people that were coming in. So I think there are going to be benefits to some of the
Well, the MGM is the big winner here. That's the irony, is that this is really an MGM, something about a trade union bill. And so the rest of the pieces are going to get something or other. But that's, we get jobs for construction workers, and I have to compliment Vince Saavedra and the trade unions for getting it passed, because that's really why it passed. But the MGM is sitting there smiling, because this is huge for them.
Right. And for those that don't realize it, so the stadium is right in the middle of all the MGM properties.
Three of the corners there are MGM properties. And so they're going to make out like bandits. The question is, I don't see how Bally's is going to make money on this deal if they're giving the land away. But they obviously have some theory where they're going to build behind it toward the airport to build rooms or condos or something. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm sure they've put a paper to a pencil and have some idea of how they're going to make money on it. Because that's what happened with the Legion, is even though we spent this money, we doubled the value of a lot of other people, and people made a fortune off of the land around it as well
just
as the owner.
Just from parking.
Right. So it's there's lots of secondary benefits. The key is, are we using tax money to do that? And this is what we do in Nevada.
Well, an interesting sidebar to this would be that MGM privately funded T-Mobile. And so if they're getting the benefits from the public funding of the A's stadium, then maybe that's a fair trade off what they invested in T-Mobile, which has been so successful.
It could be. And again, they're the one that benefits from Allegiant too. So it's I mean, they're smart to keep a low profile, but you can see their hand behind the scenes, because it's like a super win for them to take taxpayer money and build something that they're going to be the beneficiaries.
As a former state senator, you must have smiled a little, ruefully or otherwise, when you saw the list of lobbyists that were working on the A's team.
Oh, it's
I mean, it was the creme de la creme of Nevada lobbyists.
No, absolutely, and they pulled it off, and it's not easy to do. I mean, with the Allegiant, we passed a tax. We had to have 2/3. So I have to give credit to Jeremy Aguero, who came up with this idea that a tax credit isn't a tax, so you only have to have 50%. So whatever worked. I mean, he said 380, and that's what they got is $380 million. So no one ever went after that number. They want the community benefits, but they stuck with the number and got it through. So, I mean, whatever, it was ugly process, you know, it's like sausage, but at the end of the day, they got it.
Do you think there was concern that the debate was going on so long, the special session itself ran so long? Because it seemed to me the more time that it was delayed, the more problems it was going to create for the A's team in terms of legislators being bombarded by citizens saying, you know, we're not sure about the team, we're not sure about the ownership, we're not sure about their funding, because legislators want to get reelected.
Well, again, I don't know if it's going to be an election issue, but obviously the longer it went on, the more we saw, and it was ugly. But end of the day, the votes were there. Leadership on both the Assembly and the Senate stuck with it and got it through. The governor, to his credit, stuck his neck out. I mean, this was not an easy
right.
win for him. And as a Republican, to do this was pretty amazing. So, you know, at the end of the day, it happened. So that's all I can say. But I think I was there for Allegiant. It was take or leave it the first day. We dilled around for a little bit, and then we voted on it right away. This one, there was an extended period of time, lots of exposure, lots of hearings, lots of questions. So I was very impressed with the process. And at the end of the day, when you have that process, that openness, and the each legislator votes their mind, that's what democracy is all about.
The Tropicana rebuild, Tropicana Avenue itself, was underway previously whether the A Stadium was going
to
happen or
we
not.
We have to go back and revisit that. Now we have all these new people, so we're going to tear it down again and go back in another 5 years. That's a joke.
Okay, I'm so glad to hear it, because for those listening to it on a podcast or the radio are going, what? you know, the nickname is Dropicana. It's completely closed off at times for people to travel, and this is a major intersection in town. And now I see that Reno Avenue, which is another street that's connected to that, and I didn't realize until just the other day that there are all kinds of airport hangars at the back of Reno Avenue.
A lot of those people are not too happy, because this is going to impact.
Yeah, so you're life. Hearing from them.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, this if you had to pick a spot from a traffic standpoint, from all kinds of standpoints, this would not be the place. But the flip side is, this is going to have more attention than any baseball stadium in the country, probably. So it's going to be perfect from that sense if they get it built and get their money and everything. But we haven't actually seen what it's going to look like. That rendering they created was just something they pulled out of thin air, because it's not going to look anything like that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
And also, it has to pass muster with the FAA and Clark County Airport.
Absolutely. So again, there's lots of moving pieces, and that intersection, there's lots of traffic going on. We're so close to the airport. They're going to try to put a Musk thing coming out of the ground. That's going to take up a lot of land.
So this is the Boring Company transportation.
Yeah. So there's so many moving pieces that we shall see. So in addition to the lobbyists, the engineers, and all those people are going to be making a fortune too.
Well, listen, that's the nature of a capitalist society, is people making money. Is there a lot going on with the Boring Company in terms of their expansion beyond the convention center and what they're doing at Wynn and Resorts World? It seems that everything's gone quiet, but it was 58 stations that they were looking at. Is that all moving ahead as far as you know?
Well, it is. Right now, they have two machines working, one tunneling over to the Westgate, the old Hilton, and one tunneling to the Encore. So we've never had two going before. What happens after those two tunnels are built? Nothing has been approved yet. There's no building permits. I think they're trying to see where to go next. They want to go downtown. Do they want to make a loop under the Caesars properties? They originally wanted to build something at Allegiant for the Super Bowl, but that's not going to happen. So, I mean, that's another thing where there's lots of moving pieces. Everything's in place as far as the overall plan, but as far as where they go next, nothing has been approved. There's no building permits.
Is there a lot of jockeying between, in your opinion, the gaming properties as to who gets to be first?
I have not heard that. I think it's more who wants to go first or who they're going to go to, and they of course want to get to the airport, I think. but they may just go downtown because that would be a simpler way to go to start with.
Are you okay with them going to the airport? Because that's going to be a lot of battles with taxi cabs and limousines, et cetera.
Well, again, that's one of those things where we have to figure out how it's going to work, because I don't know how you're going to get, you know, 1,000 vehicles in line to get into that airport. So they may have to station outside at Thomas and Mack, and then have some kind of a shuttle bus or something, which that may take away the whole efficiency thing. So there's lots of I mean, it's a great idea in principle, but how it actually gets implemented has yet to be shown to anybody.
All right, let's take a break. So much to think about. Tick, I love you coming on the show. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with Tick Sagerblum after this timeout.
The casino industry drove Nevada's economy for decades. By the 1990s, however, the state's sole industry was in sharp decline. Many were losing their homes. Many were leaving the state. Is Reno on track to be the Detroit of the West? Was an October 2010 Reno Gazette Journal headline. Nevada knew it was time for a change and a time to diversify. Story County took that lead, took risks, invested tens of millions transforming its desert into a place of opportunity and a future for Nevada families needing something new. That desert now provides thousands of high-paying tech, advanced manufacturing, and energy careers at companies like Tesla, Panasonic, Google, Switch, and Redwood Materials. Story County transformed Northern Nevada forever, and the tide of opportunity has raised all vessels through construction contracts, high-paying careers, and the power of payroll. Tens of millions have been generated in sales and property tax, permits, and other revenues for Reno, Sparks, Washoe County, and for all of Nevada. Enough, in fact, to generate a surplus after public services are provided. And best of all, a sustainable economic climate has been created, enabling our children to stay in Nevada and live prosperous lives in their home state. Story County, improving Northern Nevada one industry at a time.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Tick Sagerblum. He's the Clark County Commissioner for District E. You knew we were going to head into Ivanpah Airport, the airport that has no name. And so I was told that the biggest bill that came before the legislature for Clark County was making that town on the 5,000 acres. They actually have, my understanding is 6,500 acres. When I interviewed your colleague Jim Gibson, the chairman of the Clark County Commission, he revealed a lot of things that I was not aware of. One was the 2019 price tag for the airport. This is the reliever airport down there. Was back in 2019 was $12 billion. When you read that story that Ray wrote for us, what was your response to that?
Well, honestly, it kind of confirmed my understanding. I've never seen a dollar amount before, but it's not an insignificant project.
So. No, goodness.
And I'm not sure if that includes the water lines and the sewage lines out there and back. I'm not sure what that $12 billion price tag includes. And that's 2019 dollars. But, you know, it's based upon our current airport, it looks like we need a secondary airport. But I do think it's important to focus on what that airport's going to do and you know the timing of it and what other things, if we have $12 billion, what other things can we do with that $12 billion jockeying around? Just like with the A's stadium, there's things to priorities, and is that the priority?
So Well, for the gaming industry, which is, I'm sure you'll admit, is the economic driver for the state, they're going to run out of space at the airport, and that would cut back on the ability to transport people to and from Nevada. And it, you know, you look at all the projects on the map right now, whether they be the Sphere or other hotel casinos, additional stadiums beyond the A stadiums. You've got the one down by Warm Springs that's on the books. I mean, the growth is going to be there. But I talked to somebody off the record about, you know, whose responsibility is it to get the water to the new airport, and that would be, you know, the county, essentially. So the county is going to be on the hook for this kind of money. It's the I should say, in quotes, it's the developer, but the developer would be Clark County, correct?
Right.
So where do you think that kind of money would come from? Obviously some from the FAA, right?
Yeah, and that we'll look for federal things. We'll look for some from the state. You know, bonding is obviously a big thing, but again, we only have bonding capacity for so much. And then, you know, if we put $2 billion in a water pipeline, what does that do for my water rates? I live here, or more importantly, for my constituents in East Las Vegas, where they don't have a lot of money. So that's what I want to make sure. I want to make sure that the ordinary Las Vegan who works for a living, who doesn't have a ton of money, isn't subsidizing something grandiose down there beyond what they can afford.
You had, from the very get-go, when we first started talking about this months ago, your concern was seeing housing develop all the way down the 15 to Gene. But it seems to me to be pretty obvious that that is exactly what's going to happen.
Well, again, let's figure that out ahead of time as far as how much water that's going to take, how big is the pipeline going to be, and then if that water is going there, where isn't it going? What are the alternatives? That's my whole thing, is to just, without thinking through what's going to happen and letting it happen, and then all of a sudden say, oh my God, we can't build Summerlin because we sent out the water to Ivanpah, or we can't build whatever. So, and then of course we're going to have 20% less water than we thought we were going to have. How does that fit into the picture? Does that mean that everybody in East Las Vegas has to give up their trees and their lawns and their gardens to pay for water to build houses to California? I mean, again, those are choices. If we have to make them, let's make them, but let's at least make them consciously.
All right, do you think this is why so many elected officials and people in the knowledge of this project have been so loath to talk about it? Because of exactly what you're talking about, which is there are consequences to all these actions?
I can't speak for other people. And a lot of times, you know, we have so much day-to-day stuff, and in particular with COVID and everything, we're just trying to survive. But I think now is a good time for us to, especially with the A's Stadium and the Sphere and some of these other things, to group and sit down and say, okay, now who would we want to be? You talked about the hotel industry needs a new airport. How many more hotel rooms are we going to build? You know, I don't know there's that much room on the Strip to build another 100,000
rooms.
Well,
there's a ton of room. I mean, just look at Resorts World. Their initial plan was to build 7,000 rooms, of which they built 3,000 so far.
I know, but that's 3,000 rooms. There's 150,000 rooms. So we're not talking about, you know, doubling our capacity.
Right, but I mean, that's not a small amount. Fontainebleau is going to open, and so that's
what. But you need to build an airport for Fontainebleau? So again,
no, but I mean, I'm just saying that it's not like there's going to be a shortage of new properties coming along the Strip. You look at Henderson. I mean, you know, the M Resort is expanding. Anthony Marnell III has bought land that he wants to develop hotels on. I mean, it's not even just on the Strip. It's, I mean, all the way around. Let's take another break, and we'll be right back.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org. Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have seconds remaining in the program here with Tex Segerblum, the Clark County Commissioner. Are you optimistic for the lifestyle of Las Vegas that you have known and loved all your life to continue?
I am. I mean, the funny part was during COVID, it was the perfect lifestyle. I mean, you could get around everywhere.
Right.
You know, the traffic wasn't crazy. The schools didn't get overcrowded. But that's why it doesn't take that much to make sure that we're a little bit ahead of the game as far as schools, as far as roads and things like that. Our air quality with electric cars, hopefully that'll increase our air quality. But it's something we have to be conscious of. We can't just grow without thinking about the consequences, because this is a small valley. It's a beautiful valley, but it can be overwhelmed, and most of my lifetime growth has kind of overwhelmed it. So growth does not pay for itself, in my opinion, so we need to kind of make sure that there's infrastructure before the growth.
And that's where we have to leave it. Come back soon, my friend. It's always a pleasure to see you.
All right, thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
Calamity. It lurks around every corner. Or not. That's why UMC Quick Care is around every corner, with locations around the valley. UMC Quick Care, for all your small calamities.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Ahern Hotel in Las Vegas. We'll see you on the next broadcast.